don't call up me. And I say, what should I do? Is this something I should be involved with? What I will tell you is whether I could be involved with it. I can say, well, I wouldn't. But you better pray and get... He's your father. I'm not your father. The Holy Spirit is to guide you, not Greg. But I am here to warn you, especially in this day and age. Another problem Christians have is they compare themselves among themselves. So they're like, well, most of the Christians I know do it. I'll tell you one thing right now is the thing called clubbing. You know, there are Christians who go clubbing. What's that mean? A bunch of women will get together, usually, what I've seen, Christian women, and they'll go to these dance clubs with this thump, 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 and it's dark, and everybody, most of the people are drunk or high on something. That's where I've seen most of the adultery take place, most of the marriages that I know of in the 50 and under crowd. I was in a Baptist church years ago, and there were six women who would do that. Four of the six committed adultery and destroyed their marriages. Why? The whole time I was like, I just don't think that's something a Christian woman ought to do. I think it's the equivalent of, you know, hey, Jim, Doug, let's go down to the strip club so we can witness. I mean, putting gospel tracks in there, you know, with a 20. That just doesn't work. But to me, it's on the same level. But that's between you and the Lord. I'm just telling you that as far as I... We're right here. Let's look at verse 16 now. Let's talk about this. Love not the world. What's that talking about? Read in verse 16 with me. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And I'm telling you that you'll find this in Christian entertainment, let alone the world's entertainment today. A lot of what I've seen at Dove Awards and the stuff that's being awarded by the Dove Awards and other Christian awards, just pit. And, you know, most of it's used in the Corrupt New Versions when they do quote the Bible, but very little of it involves the Bible. And the lyrics, you could be singing to God or you could be singing to Lucifer. Or to your dog. You can't tell by the lyrics. The guy singing or the girl singing is really loving something. Really wants something. Wants to be near them. Wants this. But they don't tell you who. And then you're like, if you're singing about Jesus, that sounds a little too sensual. Yeah. How many of you have been there? Listen to a song that's supposed to be a Christian song. And they're supposed to be singing about Jesus. And it sounds like they're putting the moves on somebody they want to sack. And you're like, that should not be a Christian song. And then they get a Dove Award for it. I'm just giving you some of my thoughts. This describes mainstream Christianity and the world today. This isn't just the world as we are. Now you gotta look at it within Christianity, Christian bookstores, churches. I was at a church one time. And they had this praise band up there, and all the people have their hands up in the air, and they're doing this. And I look around, and about half of the people look like they're doing a dance that is simulating sex in the church service. And I'm looking around thinking, not only is the music meaningless, empty, and void of any meaning at all, and it's sensual and everything, but I'm looking around everybody, and it looks like a bunch of, you know, worldly people at a rock concert, and they're all doing this bump and grind looking dance. Folks, I think that's going on probably right now in our time zone in hundreds of churches right now. And we're not talking about just out there, talking about places that call themselves churches. And in verse 17, read that. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And there it is. The bottom line is, I think if you've got the right attitude, the right perspective on things, then you're not going to even have a desire to be a part of that, because you know, if you're honest, you know that if you get involved with that kind of worldly flesh, then you're going to lose reward if you are a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, you got bigger problems. But if you are a Christian, you can get caught up. Christians can get caught up in this. That's why I'm not damning everybody to hell who does something I disagree with. I mean, we all can get caught up in things, and we all do at times, and go in the wrong direction here and there. We have to be very long-suffering, patient, pray for one another. But we also, there's a time where you got to say something. I referred to those women earlier. I said something to a couple of the women, and they both just basically mocked me. They both left their husbands. So I was nailing, you know, I put my finger. Yeah. So that's what you get from a lot of people. When you do try to talk to them about it, they'll mock you and laugh you to scorn. As we saw in that movie referring to Jesus. But then later on, you're justified. You see what happens. Doug?
That's why you have to stay in the book every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know the one.
Yeah. The right book with the right attitude, and you stay in it. So back to James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Can you imagine if I got up here and preached and just looked at y'all and said, "You bunch of whores!" You'd be like, "What?" That's basically what James is saying here.
Yeah, that's right.
He's writing a letter to the saved Jews from the 12 tribes. And he's really bothered about what he's seeing. And ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? I once had somebody say, "I don't understand, what's that mean, enmity with God?" Well, read the rest of the verse. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's what it means. And that's some serious business there. So it is imperative that we understand God's disgust with this present world system. And I'm going to borrow time now, because they say about 8 o'clock is when Bronwyn turns. So let's see how long this lasts. If you really believe what God says about this life, your focus will be on the next. And that's what, I'll just tell you what saved me from falling way more than I ever have. I've had my moments. But I know I would be totally given over if it weren't for the fact that I have gone out of my way to, as Doug said, to be in the Word. So when I'm not reading it, my wife and I read it together, but there's times of the day where I listen to it. I also listen to books, and sometimes it's not necessarily Christian books, but it's listening to books that I can use in my studies and all that. But I also listen to Christian books. I'm listening to Luther's commentary on Galatians right now, and there's times where I don't agree with it, but other times it's really good. And music, a lot of music. The Bible, when it talks about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, it's talking about you doing that throughout the day, every day. And so I encourage any of you, if you're not listening to a lot of good Christian music, you need to start. And when I first got saved, I was into rock and roll, man. It's all rock and roll. And I was a lead singer in a garage band, and I had, you know, thought I was going to end up, you know, eventually being a lead singer of a real rock group and everything. And yes, I had hair, and it was long and all that, and I didn't have any facial hair. Couldn't grow a mustache to save my life. But I jokingly now refer to the fact I was the lead screamer, you know. And up until a few years ago, I could actually still do that. But now I do it. I start coughing and carrying on. But, yeah, and scaring the babies, scaring the wife. But the thing about Christian music was, when I got saved, I didn't like a lot of it. Even the Christian rock I tried to listen to sounded kind of corny to me. So what did I do? I actually started listening to the old hymns. And some of them I knew from growing up. I heard a lot of them growing up, so I was familiar with them. But a lot of them I had never really heard or paid attention before. But over time, I really learned to love these hymns.
We had a fellow passed away a few years ago. Some of you remember Mark M. Bowden. You know, and he hadn't heard hardly any of the hymns. Or at least he didn't know them, I put it that way. And so then when he'd come to church, he'd hear these songs. He said, you know, he would always say, I like the teaching. I'm not saying I don't love the teaching, but the music, he said, that's really, it's amazing. The lyrics and it's really pretty and all that. And so I think as time went on until the Lord took him home, he was getting into those hymns. So what do? You spend your time in your mind, in your heart, filling your heart and mind with God's Word. Then you can think upon it, meditate on it, and think about the songs. Listen to music, but you can also remember what you sing in church and sing it in your heart throughout your day. Surround yourself with good Christian people whose conversations will be such that will be edifying. And then, you know, yes, there's times where you want to approach the lost and try to talk to other people. But we're talking about the mass majority of your day should be in fellowship with God and with other of the brethren. And if you'll do that, you'll find yourself getting less and less enticed by and further away from the world. Because the love of the Father growing in you is what keeps you from wanting to be involved in the world and falling into the things of the world. And folks, some of you may think, oh, this is kind of basic. Well, I wish it was. But man, this is what's killing people today. The world and worldliness. And you need to understand this for yourself and your loved ones so you can talk to them about it. Turn over to Matthew 10. I'll show you what Jesus said about this. Matthew 10:29. I think I got the right. It's a good passage, but it's not the one I was referring to. I don't know how I copied and pasted, I think, the wrong text. Give me a second to look here. Oh, okay. It's Mark. Mark 10:29. That jump on me. Like it never happened. Mark 10. Oh, I spelled Mark with two A's. Oh. Modern technology is great when it works. Well. Here we go. Mark 10:29, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, read verse 30, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Now look at that. We don't want to have to do that. But I could probably have a raise of hands and have everybody in the room with their hand up in just a couple of seconds if I start naming these off. How many of you had a parent or a sibling or a child or some other relative or a spouse or someone you were engaged to be married or a girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever who have forsaken you because of your stand for the Lord? All kinds of friends, yeah. I've got family that don't want me around. I've got old friends, totally. A lot of them deleted me off of Facebook 2 or 3 years ago when I was on Facebook. I didn't say anything out of the ordinary. I was just opposed to gay marriage. I was opposed to abortion. I believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's enough. Reality check: when you focus on pleasures of this world, you put yourself in opposition to God. But that's better than loving this world and having all the friends. You're better off being, I said that wrong, but you know, understand what I mean. You're better off having your friends and family forsake you than to be in opposition to God. Amen. That is why God saves us from this world system. Galatians 1, 3 to 5. Galatians 1 I happen to think of because I was listening to Martin Luther's commentary. It reminded me of this. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 3 says, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." If you dare read verse 4, "who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So question, why would a Christian love what God saved us from? Why would you love what God saved you from? He not only saved you from being a part of, but suffering the wrath of God on this fallen world. Why would you love that? And that phrase, you ever heard people talk about that? The worldly Christian. It's a complete contradiction. It should be. Are there areas of your life that are worldly? That's what we want to pose to you tonight in our close. Are there areas of your life that are worldly that you know what happens to me? I can't speak for everybody, but when I'm doing something or I've crossed that line, or I'll give you an example. Every once in a while, I'll put on a movie. Just trying to relax. Jenny and I, not too long ago, we put on something to watch. And at some point, I just stopped it and said, "I can't watch any more of this." And Jenny said, "Good, because I was about to leave the room." And it's just, you can sense the Holy Spirit being grieved in you. When you sense that, just do what's right. I mean, I got up one day and walked out of a movie in a theater years ago. And I can't tell you, I'm not condemning anybody who goes to a movie theater, but I just stopped going. Because so much of the movies we watch, it would just, you either I wanted to walk out of or did. Music on the radio, you flip the dial sometime. If about 2/3 of that doesn't grieve you, what's on there? Folks, we're in that kind of world, and it's not easy, but it's a necessary stand that we need to take. And you know what? There's a lot of people who can be influenced by us. Other people do watch you. And if you as a Christian go along with this stuff, you could be leading them into it as well. And then other times where you take a stand, you might encourage them and embolden them to take a stand. So keep all of that in mind. Psalm 139:23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Verse 24, "and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let that be our prayer. It's extremely personal, and it's also extremely important. And I almost got it all in before Bronwyn lost her cool. But that's where we'll pick up. Now, she's been very good, yeah.
I have decided to follow Jesus. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting in His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, He's me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall hang with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
If I spoke with words that charm the soul, they could see into tomorrow.